All right. Well, hey, as we start out in Get Alive Church, I felt led with the sake of timing to let's go ahead and get started on some messages based out of our latest documentary. And this first one is the first of the three topics we deal with, and that is Trump and the Ten Horn Kingdom. And again, we deal with this in our latest documentary, Trump and the Paradox Prophecies. And we called it that on purpose because there's a paradox going on. I'll give credit where credit's due. There's good things that Trump is doing, at least from an economic perspective. The economy seems to be going better, except for California, but the rest of the country, most of the gas prices are coming down. I'm glad the interest rates are going down. So I'll give credit where credit's due. But whether he realized or not, his behavior and decisions are actually helping to propel Bible prophecy related issues. That's the paradox. He's doing some good things, but paradoxically, he's doing things that are propelling Bible prophecy. And we need to talk about it. And one of them, the first one we deal with, is the Ten Horn Kingdom. The Bible says very clearly, folks, that in the last days, specifically in the 7-year tribulation, the planet is going to go from about 200 independent countries to 10 regions. And those 10 regions are going to be ruled by 10 guys. And then at one point, they're going to give all that over to the Antichrist. But as always, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Revelation 17. Revelation 17 is our opening text. And let's take a look about this prophecy. And clearly, obviously, in the 7-year tribulation, because you're talking about the Antichrist. And he doesn't make his appearance until we, the church, make our disappearance. The Bible's very clear about that, 2 Thessalonians 2. But Revelation 17, let's start with verse 3, and then we're going to see God define for us the terms. You don't have to wonder and pray and fast 15 years. And as always, go to that prayer and fasting conference with meals included. All right, solid enough time. Revelation 17, verse 3 says this: "Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. And then I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had 7 heads and 10 horns." If only we knew what the 10... Well, keep reading. Verse 12, he tells you, "The 10 horns you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast," the Antichrist. They have one purpose. They're going to give their power and authority over to the beast. So here we see the Bible's very clear, folks, that in the 7-year tribulation, and this is just my new word, I keep making this up, the unthinkable is going to happen, right? Who would have thunk this could ever happen? Our planet is going to go from 200 currently-ish independent countries down to 10 regions. They're going to be combined, and you're going to end up with 10 regions, and then those 10 regions are going to be ruled by 10 guys that apparently we don't get to vote on. And then when that gets established, it clearly says right there, as you saw, that they're going to hand it over to this guy called the Antichrist. And I don't know about you, but it's a good thing we see no signs of that ever happening. Yeah, folks, it's been happening for a long time. I got the goods on that one. This goes back to the early 70s with everybody's favorite guy, Klaus Schwab. Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, which he started in 1971, the same one who's launching the Great Reset. Now, the Great Reset, a lot of us now know that what he means by the Great Reset is they're going to take over the world. It's launching a one-world government. It's a one-world economy, a cashless society, biometrically tied into people's body parts. We get that. But the same group of folks, are also already got plans to for the one world government that they're going to do when they take over the world. They're going to split it up into, go figure, 10 regions. But here they say the Great Reset really means committed to improving the state of the world. No. It's committed to taking over the world, because that's really what's going on. And again, as we saw during the pandemic, the 2030 agenda, welcome to 2030. That's their target date. I own nothing. I have no privacy. Life has never been better. Well, ladies, stop eating chicken, because that's one of the dumbest things you could ever say. But that's their agenda. That's what they're trying to brainwash people. And again, we did 4 documentaries on this, if you want to go down deep on that issue. But the reason why I bring that up is because most people don't realize that Klaus Schwab, when he started the Great Reset, the World Economic Forum in 1971, he also launched another group. It's called the Club of Rome. And the Club of Rome produced a map for purposes of saving the planet when they take over the planet, under the guise of the live climate change, that for purposes of better management, they devised this map. This is their map. It's called the Club of Rome map. And they split the world up into 10 regions. Again, 10 regions, folks. This is not AI. It's not Photoshop. 10 regions, okay? Not 122, not 19, exactly 10 like God said would happen. But this is not only on the book since the early 70s, but I have it on tape. It's Klaus Schwab, the same guy who wants to do the Great Reset, the same guy by 2030 wants it all in play, the same guy who wants to launch a one world government, a cashless society, biometrically tie people into it, the Mark of the Beast system basically, is the same guy who gave these guys their start that produced this map that split the world up into 10 chunks. But here he is admitting it on tape. Watch this.
I worked on climate change since 73.
So
just to tell you, because I was the person who gave the Club of Rome the first big platform.
Well, there you go, folks. I don't know about you, but it sounds to me like Klaus Schwab is the one who gave these guys their start. It's straight from the horse's mouth. So the same guy, folks, who's launching the Great Reset, take over the planet, one world government, cashless society, biometric control, is the same one who gave those guys their start, who produced that map, who just so happened to be split the planet up into 10 chunks. That's what I want to share with you, because when you see the Agenda 2030, which, by the way, has not stopped just because Trump got into office, these guys are still marching forward. That's still their target date. Only God knows that they're really going to make it, okay? But that's their agenda. But the same agenda, again, just so happens to already, from the very beginning of their inception, to split the planet up into these 10 regions. Now, let me give you some more proof that this has been under play and moving forward for quite some time once they produce that map with the help of Klaus Schwab. This is the European Union, their website. And as you can see, they just so happen to have the planet shaded up into 10 regions. And if you scroll down, you will clearly see the 10 different regions outlined for you. Do you think that's by chance? I don't think so. Now, I couldn't believe I came across this one. This was a smoking gun one. This is from the UN, and this is an event they talked about that happened in 2008, and they're reporting it in 2009. And the title there is New Research Program on Global Democracy Established. Now, global democracy, basically one world government. Did you know that? Did you get to vote on that? No, none of us did. But listen to this. I'm zooming in, as you can see there. A global research program facilitated and coordinated through a convening group of what? 10 persons based in 10 world regions was established last year with the core funding of the Ford Foundation. Did you know that? But folks, it didn't just say 10 world regions. It says what? 10 persons based in 10 world regions. What is that? Folks, that is exactly what God said would happen 2,000 years ago when you're living the last days and the seven-year tribulation is fast coming upon us, okay? Now, again, these guys have been working on this for a long time. So let's go around and take a journey around the map and let's see how far they have gone. Now, the first one that's on that map, as you can see here, number two, was the big watershed moment. This is the European Union. We don't even think about this anymore, but man, I remember living through that. 1993, that was big news. Who would have thought that a bunch of countries would give up their sovereignty, create a union, and not just create a union together, the European Union, but they even came out with their own currency called the euro. But let's take a look at that.
In 1993, the Maastricht Treaty officially renamed the EEC as the European Union and introduced more cooperation between governments in areas like defence and justice. They also set out plans to bring the economies of the member countries closer together. In 2002, the euro was born. Currencies like French francs, Dutch guilders, and Italian lira all became history, and the euro became the currency of 12 EU countries, with only the UK, Denmark, and Sweden choosing to keep to their own currency. Countries continue to join the European Union. And in 2004, we saw the biggest ever single enlargement of the EU when 10 countries joined.
Well, hey, there you go, folks. One down, nine more to go. So that was the big watershed moment. It wasn't just a big watershed moment. The European Union, you'll see here in a second, all these other unions admitted that the European Union is the model that they're going to now follow themselves when they create their own union, including their own currency. Okay, but let's take a look and let's journey around the map. Now, number three, according to the Club of Rome map, the Tin Horn Kingdom, basically, Japan, that's already been established. They've been in many talks for quite some time with different trade agreements, combining that region by itself. Let's move to number four. You go down there, Australia. I was just down there, folks, and sure enough, Australia has already been linked together economically with New Zealand, and that happened way back in 1983. They're also in significant trade relationships with, of all people, South Africa, with the Southern African Development Community. And you're like, well, man, why them? Well, because it's the map. You follow the map. It tells you exactly where they're going to go. Now, let's go to Russia. This is interesting. Now, a lot of people would say, Russia? Russia is a communist nation. They're never going to go along with Klaus Schwab and the Club of Rome map and all this stuff. Well, folks, they already have. Most people don't realize this. They have entered into the Eastern European countries, several of them, with what's called the Eurasian Economic Union. And not only has created a superpower economy, but energy as well. They supply the energy to most of Europe there. But as you can see, according to this map, for those of you who know your geography there, that country right there where that arrow is, that's Ukraine. No wonder there's such a battle to go back and forth. It's right in the middle between two of these unions. And according to the map, it's going to go Russia's way. Okay, now let's go to number six. This is Latin America. This actually was already established back in 2004. Most people don't know about this. 12 South American nations signed what was called the Cusco Declaration. They founded the Union of South American Nations. Okay, and again, they freely admit we're following the model of who? The European Union, and they too want to have their own unique currency. Like the European Union has the euro. Now, let's go over here. Talk about hot off the press news. The number seven, as you can see shaded there in purple, is the North Africa Middle East Union. And you're thinking, man, those are the Muslim countries. They're not going to go along with it. They already have. Okay. They have what's called the Middle East Union Congress. And this is from their website. Listen to what they say. Quote, we dream of a Middle East that is empowered, free, and governs for all its peoples in a new world where the Middle East Union is an important, integral part of a greater global community. That's their words, not mine. So they're wanting to join their, create these, this union. And you're like, well, why the Muslim nations going along with this? You wouldn't think they would. Well, the globalists ain't going to let go of them because that's where a lot of the oil and the energy that these globalists need and want it is. So they're not going to go anywhere, but they're combining them, as you can see, according to the map, into their own union. Now, talk about hot off the press. For those of you who know geography, follow that purple trail all the way there to the right. And that country where the arrow is just happens to be Iran. According to this map that was produced in the early 70s, the Club of Rome, who got their start from Klaus Schwab, who's taken over the planet, they basically are telling you way back then that the unthinkable is going to happen. Iran is going to fall because they're going to be pulled into this Middle East Union. And it's a good thing nothing's going on with Iran. Folks, it's all happening before our very eyes. Who would have thought that Iran would be falling before our very eyes? And not only that, who would have thought, I'll just give you a little side note here, who would have thought that Russia and China, who's supposed to be buddies with Iran, are basically sitting back doing nothing, eating popcorn, apparently, because for years, what have we been told? Both from Russia and China, you touch Iran and it is going to be World War III, right? Folks, there is nothing going on. Well, the only thing that I can conclude as to why that would happen after years of threats saying you're going to start World War III, Russia and China is going to jump in and save Iran, but yet they're doing nothing. The only way to explain that is because guess what? Folks, they're all working together. Now, number 10 on that map is China. I'll get to that in a second, Lord willing. But they're already in cahoots with Klaus Schwab. They've been that way for a long time. They're the test bed for the Big Brother control factor society, social credit score, Big Brother CCCT system. It's called the China model. Klaus calls it the China model. He wants to bring that to the rest of these unions. It's not just being split up into 10 unions. You're going to be controlled like a rat. Well, China being a communist nation, they do whatever they want to do. So they're the perfect test bed to violate people's freedoms and privacy. And so they're working out the bugs in China. So they've been in cahoots with Schwab for a long time. So it's not surprising that they're letting Iran go with basically doing nothing. But Russia, I learned this in our previous four documentaries on the World Economic Forum. Believe it or not, folks, guess who is a graduate of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum Young Leaders Global Program. It rhymes with Vladimir Putin because it's Vladimir Putin. He is a graduate of the Young Global Leaders Program. So he works for Schwab, folks. He's playing his part. That's the only way and reason I can come up with, and I think it's spot on, why Russia and China are sitting this one out after years of barking, oh, don't you dare, it's going to be World War III. Folks, because they're all working on it together. Why? Because there's somebody higher up that's controlling them, okay? And God called it out 2,000 years ago. Now, let's go to number eight. That's tropical Africa, the middle section there. This actually represents about 1 billion people, so it's a big chunk of the planet. And folks, they too are well underway with there. In fact, they not only want to follow the European Union, they too want their own currency. I'm not joking. Theirs is called not the Euro, it's called the Afro, as you can see here.
In a historic move, Kenyan President William Ruto and Somali President Hassan Sheikh Mohamud and Burkina Faso President Ibrahim Traoré are leading a bold new Pan-African project that could change the continent forever. Their plan includes a single African currency called Afro Money, with a central bank split between Kenya and Somalia. But that's not all. Africans will soon travel visa-free across all member countries, creating a truly united continent. This could mark the biggest step toward African unity in history.
Alrighty. And you just thought it was a hairstyle. No, folks, apparently there's much more to it than that. No, but that's on tape, folks. That's their new currency, not the Euro, it's the Afro. Well, let's go to number nine there. And you can see that this one is also well under play. Many unions in that area have already been formed. In fact, it's actually one of the largest economies in the world. They call it ASEAN, A-S-E-A-N, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. So that's already been established. They're also proposing, again, following the EU union as the model. They want their own currency called the Asian Currency Unit. And gee, guess what? They're also in talks with combining India into this union. And you're going like, man, why would they do that? Because it's on the map. Okay, that's why, folks. They're all working together. Now, again, I mentioned number 10, China. China has risen in recent years out of the blue from basically a backwoods state to a world superpower. Now, part of that, just to give you a little history lesson, that's you could go back as far as Nixon, but the one who really helped China go into turbo mode with their military, with their economy, with technology especially, was Bill Clinton. Yeah, Bill Clinton spent 8 years making sure that China hurries up and catches up with the rest of the world because they are a part of the plan. Again, they've already got all kinds of agreements. They're a huge political, economic power in the region out of the blue. Because the globalists used Bill Clinton and others to make sure that they got caught up with the rest of us, okay? Now, you're going like, okay, that's interesting. Man, these unions are a lot further along than I realized. Some of you may not even be aware of the Club of Rome map. But you're going like, but you said Trump and the Tin Horn Kingdom. What does this got to do with Trump? Well, again, I'm not saying he wakes up every day and says, I'm going to make this decision to help the Antichrist out. Of course, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there are things he's doing that is helping this Tin Horn Kingdom to advance. Now, one of them, believe it or not, is his global tariffs. And I came across this when I was doing research on this documentary in Australia. And I came across the news broadcast, and they admitted in the Asian countries there that it is the global tariffs that Trump is launching basically from day one that is forcing them to finalize these unions out of just sheer survival. Watch this.
China, Japan, and South Korea held the first trade talks in 5 years on Sunday amid concerns over U.S. President Donald Trump's import tariffs. The three Asian manufacturing giants agreed to, quote, closely cooperate for a comprehensive and high-level talks to improve free trade in the region. That's according to a statement released after the meeting. Trade ministers from the three nations met ahead of Trump's planned announcement on Wednesday of more tariffs in what he calls, quote, Liberation Day.
Well, so folks, you heard it yourself. Whether Trump realizes it or not, this push for global tariffs is helping these other unions to put themselves in what I call turbo mode. They were already working on these unions for a long time, as you saw, but a lot of them, this is forcing them to dot the I's and cross the T's, hurry up and do it for purposes of economic survival with the global tariffs. So even that is coming into play. But if you're paying attention there, let's deal with the one I specifically skipped over, the Tin Horn Kingdom, the Club of Rome, and that is number one. And the reason why I did that is because for this one, especially as Americans, we have a hard time believing that, wait a second, is that really going to happen? Is America, as we know it, going to go away? Are we really going to be swallowed up with Canada and Mexico? Yes, folks, it's on the map. And that's what's been worked out behind the scenes for a long time. And I want to share that proof with you. And basically, folks, we have, I don't know even how to put it other than what it is. We've had traitors in high places in the United States of America, and I'm talking presidents. They've sold out our country. They're working not for us as citizens, as Americans. They're working for the globalists. And these people are behind the scenes laughing their guts at us. And they're all in it, both sides, folks. A Democrat, Republican, they've been doing it for a long time. In fact, the one that really put it into, again, turbo mode, combining U.S. with Canada, Mexico, was George Bush Jr. Watch this archival footage moving on up into the Obama years. They're all working together. Watch this.
New concerns tonight about moves towards what some call a North American Union. A number of high-level government meetings are taking place in Mexico to discuss North American integration of Mexico, the United States, and Canada. More meetings are scheduled. It is an aggressive agenda proposed at the highest levels of our government and U.S. commerce without congressional or voter oversight. Lisa Sylvester reports.
A caravan of cars travels along the Arizona desert. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff was visiting the U.S.-Mexican border. Last week, he was in Mexico City. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez visited Mexico February 1st. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, January 11th. And President Bush himself will travel there next month. The high-level meetings are to advance North American integration, also known as the Security Prosperity Partnership.
There are several ways it could go. One is modeled after the EU. One is modeled after sort of the an economic community. It's beyond the scope of just a trade, free trade zone, which we fairly well have already with those two countries.
President-elect Obama giving new life to the North American Union, a plan by business and political elites to tear down the trade barriers among the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and to create a NAFTA superhighway. All of which to be done without the approval of Congress or the American people.
Last February, Obama pledged that he would resume the Security and Prosperity Partnership talks between Mexico and Canada that President Bush initiated. He also said the talks will be transparent. Those opposed to the North American Union say that now whether he will or will not deliver on that promise becomes something they doubt, Lou.
Well, this is, this is early on, the president-elect is starting to look like, it's starting to look when it comes to trade, as Lori Wallach, the Public Citizen, pointed out, Global Trade Watch. The old boss is starting to look a lot like the new boss.
The new boss is starting to look like the old boss. Can I translate that for you? Folks, what he's saying is it doesn't matter what president we vote in, doesn't matter what party gets elected, guess what? They're all working in on it together. Okay, Bush Jr., Obama, it's treason. You know, back in the day, these guys would be called traitors, and it would be, go get a rope. But folks, this is what's going on. They're selling out our country to create these unions, even the North American Union, number one on the Club of Rome map, and it's been going on for quite some time. But hey, I don't know about you, but I'm glad it stopped with Bush and Obama. Yeah, right. And don't forget, Clinton was a part of it too. He's the one that launched NAFTA and began the process of that as well. But folks, it didn't stop. Shocker. It continued on with Biden. A lot of us called it the O'Biden administration for good reasons. But he continued with the same agenda. And I quote, Biden administration hails migrants as newcomers to the U.S. But in this article, watch what they say. And I quote, on January 23rd, Biden participated in a North American Leaders Summit in Mexico City, along with Canada's prime minister at that time, Trudeau, shocker, and the Mexican president, Obrador, and I quote, watch this, says, it's no exaggeration to describe the gathering as a test drive for a North American Union that would obliterate U.S. national sovereignty. About as blunt as you can get. Let me give you some more proof. Watch this. Biden administration proposes merging U.S. with Mexico and Canada. That's about as blunt as you can get, folks. That's exactly what's on the map. But watch what this article shares. No border, no wall. No USA at all. Prominent supporters in very high places are calling for that, including, quote, Biden's regime's upper echelons. And the administration's hand was tipped by Mexican president, again, Obrador. He announced recently, back then, and that Secretary of State Anthony Blinken proposed opening all borders among the United States, Mexico, and Canada. The president of Mexico said, quote, we agree on that, and that it would consolidate the region of North America. So Biden continued with that administration as well. Now, all he did is change the name, right? Now, back in Bush's day, it was called Security Prosperity Partnership in North America. And Obama ran with that as well. But as you can see there, according to the graph, even secular print, what do they admit? What was these meetings about? The SPP. Look what was shaded green. That's Canada, U.S., and Mexico. Well, Biden comes along. All he does is change the name, right? Look at the graph. What is it? It's the talks are about, the summits are about what? Combining Canada, U.S., and Mexico. He just called it a different name. The North American Leader Summit or the Three Amigos Summit. Okay, but that's what's going on. It's all the same thing. They just changed the name and keep on doing the same globalist agenda in the next administration. And only a couple of reporters during the Biden years called this out. It's treasonous behavior. Watch this.
So the European Union has not really worked out well for Europe. We'll know the details this winter when people are freezing. So naturally, the Biden administration wants to create something very much like that in North America, an EU-style government. The Mexican president, AMLO, says that Tony Blinken, our Secretary of State, just proposed that idea. Watch this.
I think that Mr. Blinken spoke about consolidating the region of North America, and we agree on that. We are also in favor of a unity of the entire American continent, like the way the first European community emerged and converted into the European Union. That's what we want.
That apparently is the globalist order that the Biden administration supports here.
And why does this matter? Well, because we have in place an administration filled with open border ideologues who are implementing a globalist policy that no one was given the option in this country to vote on, that bypasses the legislature and is completely in violation of the Constitution. And what they're edging towards, and I know this from a source who was in meetings at the UN behind closed doors, these are classified meetings, and listen to these discussions of infiltrating 100 million people into the United States as the basis for forming a regional government instead of a national government. So a government of Canada, Mexico, and the U.S.
Now, folks, focus on what she just said, not only creating this new union, North American Union, but 100 million illegals was the plan. Now, Biden, some estimates, they want to have it pretty low. Most people think that they made it up to 30 million-ish. But 100 million. Now, why would they try to flood America with 100 million illegal immigrants? Because it's a numbers game. And by the way, this isn't just happening to America. This is their modus of operandi around the world, right? Because what's the goal? We're going to get people to give up their national sovereignty and combine countries together like the European Union into a new union. Well, what about people that are patriotic, especially like with America, right? Who's going to say, yeah, let's not become America anymore. Let's become basically a modern European Union with Canada, Mexico. Well, most Americans ain't ever even going to think about going down that route. Ah, but if you flood America with 100 million illegal people, and it wasn't just from Mexico, folks, it was from illegals from all over the world, then guess what? It's a numbers game. And then you give these people the right to vote. And guess what? There's not enough people who value sovereignty of a country to stop it. And so, again, this is what they're doing all the world. But you can see people called it out. It's no joke. So, but this isn't just the leaders in high places that they're doing. And it's never stopped from back in the day, even the North American Union. But of course, they're also working and have been working at the same time to combine the countries with the transportation system. The names have changed over the years. At one point, it was called the Trans-Texas Corridor. It was also called the NAFTA Superhighway. But basically, if you're going to combine all three countries together, then the goods are going back and forth, and you need to combine it for those purposes. And that's exactly what they are doing. In fact, way back in the day, believe it or not, of all people, a Democrat lady blew the whistle on this in Congress, tried to get Americans to wake up, but nobody listened to her. Watch this.
Today, I want to talk a little bit about Super NAFTA and what the Bush administration is planning to lock NAFTA in even tighter in this country and across the continent. There's something called the Agreement on Security and Prosperity that is being negotiated by the Bush administration very quietly. No hearings are being held in this Congress. Most Americans have never even heard of the term. This Security and Prosperity Agreement, as it is being called, has no democratic underpinning to it. It's being negotiated by the very same elites that negotiated NAFTA. And let's look at some of the signs of what is happening. It is suddenly clearer why a company from Spain called Cintra wants to be the gatekeeper on this new highway structure. Cintra is a subsidiary of Ferrovial, the Spanish transportation company founded by multi-billionaire Rafael de Pino, who is one of the richest people in the world. The people of the United States had better wake up.
But we didn't wake up because nobody took her serious. And as we have all been brainwashed to think, these people are crazy conspiracy theorists. Just write them off and turn the channel and go watch some sports. Folks, this is really what's going on, has been going on for a long time, traitors in high places. But speaking of unions, again, remember the European Union is the model that everybody's following. It's the same thing, folks, when it comes to the North American Union, combining Canada, U.S., and Mexico. They, too, have proposed for many years that we're going to get our own currency. The European Union, they call it the euro. Ours is proposed to be called, whether it ends up being that or not, I don't know, but it's proposed to be called the Amero. And not only in some new sort of paper currency, but even the coinage. It's a union of North America. It's been out for quite some time. In fact, believe it or not, I've got this one on file, and I've kept it all these years. But this Amero currency for the new North American Union was accidentally leaked out on a financial broadcast. Watch this.
I think one thing people who are dollar-based need to focus on is the Amero. That's the one thing that nobody's talking about that I think is going to have a big impact on everybody's life in Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. It's a new currency for the North American community, which is being developed right now between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico to make a borderless community much like the EU.
Our economies now are very integrated. Our societies are growing increasingly integrated. What's needed now is a North American idea for all three.
The greatest initiatives have usually originated from some crisis of some sort.
And my hope is that eventually, if there is a major catastrophe, there will be enough people around who will say, well, this may be the time to try out this new idea.
Now, whether you realize or not, that last guy there, his name is Herbert Grubel. He's actually the father of the Amero. And right from the horse's mouth, what did he admit? He admitted all we need to what? The right crisis to come along, and hopefully there'll be enough people to basically cry out for what we heard during the pandemic, bring back normal, right? Oh, we'll fix it for you. Let's switch to a cashless society, a new currency called the Amero, because we're combining U.S. and Canada and Mexico because we have to do it for purposes of survival. How many people would line up and do that? I think we had a test run during the pandemic to see how many people will actually stand for freedom in the Constitution, let alone biblical rights. But this is no joke, folks. This is part of the plan. And then you're going, well, wait a second. So the leaders have already caved in. We've been duped, both sides of the party. They planned a transportation system, by the way, still underway. They planned a new currency called the Amero, just like the Euro. Well, what's left? Well, the other plan is you got to control not only the goods going back and forth between these new unions, these borderless communities, you have to control the people. And you're like, well, how are you going to control the people? How are you going to know if they're really a legitimate citizen of this new North American Union? Well, it's called a national or a universal ID system. As you can see there, the Technate of North America universal ID card. Notice the microchip there. Because that holds all your personal data. And so the idea that they have is when this all happens, everybody's going to get a universal ID to prove that you're a legitimate citizen of this new union, which, by the way, has already been implemented. I'll get to that in a second. In the European Union, Okay? But that's just the first step. The globalist plan, folks, here for the Ten Horn Kingdom is your union will require this microchip national ID card, but eventually it's going to go global. Now, that came out news from the World Health Organization. They spilled the beans. Here's where it's all leading to. The WHO treaty is tied to a what? A global digital passport and ID system. Okay, now watch this. It gets, unfortunately, worse as you go. The World Health Organization has developed a global vaccine passport system. Now stop right there. Notice they put in there what? Vaccines will be tied into this universal passport ID. Why? Because Bill Gates, is behind this ID system because he owns the patents on the vaccines. And Microsoft software is being pitched to run the back end of the system. So he's going to get his two goals, make money and murder people. And if you want more proof on that, get our documentary, The Global Elites and the Antichrist. We expose the real Bill Gates. He really should be called Bill Kill Gates. But there, it's going to be tied into your vaccine passport. So here's my point. So you won't be able to travel. You won't be able to buy and sell. You won't be able to go into a government facility. You're going to be blocked out in your region, let alone going into one of these other Ten Horn regions, unless you have all the shots that they say that are required for, quote, here's their term, a safe traveler. So they've built the vaccine, the forcing the vaccine on the world through this universal ID. But listen to what it says. The World Health Organization developed a global vaccine passport system with plans to, link every person on the planet to a QR code digital ID. And I quote, this system will be tamper-proof and digitally verifiable. Now, again, I won't mention names, but I know many people, not only in the United States, but around the world, who faked the system during the pandemic and said they had their little certificate that they got the shot when they didn't, and they were able to scoot around. This one, they know that that happened, so they thought of everything. They're going to make sure that you can't escape the system because it's digital and, quote, tamper-proof, right? But they go on to say this, and a quote, this system will be universal, mandatory, and transnational. So again, that's the plan. First, you're going to get a universal ID for your union. Then it's going to go global. It'll all be tied together digitally, including with your vaccine status. And without it, you won't be able to cross the border. You won't be able to get a job. You won't be able to buy and sell. And you know where this is headed, folks. But believe it or not, you're thinking, that's crazy. I'm glad that there's no signs that people are doing that kind of a system. It's already happening. This is the news that's coming out of the European Union, the first one that they formed. Watch what they're doing over there.
In what's being called Orwellian, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer just announced mandatory digital IDs. Take a look.
And that is why today I am announcing this government will make a new free of charge digital ID mandatory for the right to work by the end of this parliament. Let me spell that out. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have digital ID. It's as simple as that.
Are these people getting to vote on this or anything? No, folks, it's mandatory is the key word, right? They got us used to a lot of this technology voluntarily, but then they moved to the next step. Shocker. Oh, by the way, now everybody has to do it, whether you want it or not. But this is what's going on. And as a side note, what they're using as excuse for this is the immigration problem, right? Which, by the way, they created on purpose to create a crisis so they can come in with a solution. And one of the solutions with this immigration problem all across the world, by the way, is we got to fix it by a universal ID so we can verify that you're a safe person, okay? But as you see, everyone is going to have to carry their universal ID on their phone, okay? But the problem with that is, wait a second, what if you lose your phone? What if it gets stolen? What if it breaks down? How are you going to function in this union that requires this for all things? Well, it's called a setup, folks, because first it's for the phone that you hold in your hand, then it's going to go to mandatory permanent in your hand. And the preparation for that is already well underway. Watch this.
Listen to this. Instead of carrying your wallet in your back pocket or your purse, a tech company wants you to keep it under your skin.
All right. So let's explain here. Wallet More is selling microchips implanted in your hand as an alternate payment. Could this be the future? Maybe. Once you set up your card info in the company's app, look at this. It says payments could be as easy as swiping your hand over a card reader.
And makes your whole hand a credit card.
Or a digital ID or a vaccine passport, whatever they want to connect it to. And notice how this microchip technology can also be used to buy and sell. Hello. It's called a setup, folks. We know where this is headed. It's the precursor to the seven-year tribulation, the mark of the beast, okay? And again, they all put it into play with a planned crisis, and that's leading to the next step. Right now, this technology is voluntary. I could spend a whole study, folks, on showing that people are voluntarily lining up and doing this literally all over the world. Microchipping parties, all kinds of stuff. This is no joke. The younger generations are just eating this up. But at one point, it's going to become mandatory. And that's what the Bible says with the mark. You're going to be forced. That's called mandatory. The people in the seven-year tribulation. And don't tell me that this same system won't be tied into the 10-horn kingdom, these unions, to verify whether you're a safe traveler. Because again, that's already being done. People are being required to receive a microchip implant in order to go across the border. Again, I got the footage on that, archival, and this is what's going on Mexico's southern border. Watch this.
Mexico is highly critical of U.S. immigration policy, but it's taking extraordinary measures when it comes to its own immigration crisis. Mexico is taking drastic measures to control illegal immigration across its southern border. Now, Mexico will reportedly use an electronic chip to curb illegal immigration from Guatemala and Belize. The biochip implant will replace the so-called local pass currently being used to enter the country. In 2006, Mexico arrested 200,000 people trying to enter their country illegally.
So basically, what would you see? No chip, no travel, right? And so first it starts off with a card with the chip on it. Now everybody's got a cell phone, which also helps find out your exact GPS location. But this got a microchip on it. And then, wait a second, don't you want this nifty device that you could put in your body? What's that? You don't want to do it? Well, now it's become mandatory. Folks, it's all a setup. You could see it all coming to play. And this is part of the system they're building in with this 10-horn kingdom. And again, as I mentioned, you know where this is headed. It's towards the mark of the beast system. Revelation 13, 16 through 17. He also forced, what's that? Mandatory. Everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. Why? So that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark. The global marking digital ID system, whatever you want to call it, straight out of the World Health Organization treaty, is paving the way for the mark of the beast system and the seven-year tribulation, okay? This is what the people left behind at the rapture are going to have to deal with when they form this 10-horn kingdom and then they hand it over to the Antichrist. It becomes universal at that point. But I said all that to get to this. This is what's been going on behind the scenes, traders in high places. But aren't you glad all of this stopped with Bush and Obama and Biden? Yeah. Pause for a dramatic effect. I wish that were true, but it's not. Trump is carrying the torch of the 10-horn kingdom. He's just following a different map. Now, the map on the left is the North American Union from the Club of Rome map that split the planet up into 10 regions. The one on the right is called the Technate map. This map was produced by the technocracy movement back in the day. And let me just share with you what that is and where it came from. But the technocracy movement basically was birthed in the around the 20s and 30s. It was after World War I. And then here comes the Great Depression. And so this movement arose, the technocracy movement, that basically was this premise. See, after World War I and the Great Depression, the governments, the political leaders, they've demonstrated that they don't know how to bring peace and order to the planet. Peace and safety, right? And so they say it's up to us technology elites, the technology geniuses, the scientists. We're going to bring a new technocracy to the planet where science and technology is going to build this utopia. These guys had their chance. They blew it. But that's basically that in a nutshell. Now, these guys produced a new map. And that's what I showed there. It's called the Technate of America, as you can see there. This is not Photoshop. It's not AI. I got this from the Library of Cornell University. As you can see there, it's just like the Club of Rome map, the number one, the North American Union. The only difference is it goes a little further south, which we'll get to in a second. But let me explain to you a little bit more of what the technocracy movement wanted to do, not only with that map. But they said that we need to abandon business and representative government, since they demonstrated that they cannot provide peace and security for the planet, and is going to be replaced with not democracy, but what they call technocracy. The technocracy would be a ruling system, watch this, where technicians and the scientific elite would run our lives, ushering in, quote, the new order, all led by, quote, the great engineer and a self-perpetuating elite. In other words, we don't get to vote on. It proposed a dramatic increase in continental defense. The government of the United States needed to expand properly. And I quote, that was again behind that map there, the Technate map. And they said, this is what we need to do, the new Technate of America. It was to include Canada, Greenland, Central America, the Caribbean, parts of Colombia, Venezuela, and the Guyanas. Defense bases, quote, would be established around this perimeter as far as Greenland, and they would not be separate political entities, but a part of the continent of North America. How do you achieve this? Quote, the government of the United States should take immediate action to acquire these territories, watch this, either by purchase, negotiation, or force of arms. Sound familiar? That's exactly what we're hearing in the news today in Trump's second term, okay? And the reality is this, it's going to create a new union. The only difference from the Club of Rome map union, the North American Union, is it's a further south. But once you take a look at this technocracy map, it's going to do the same thing. America, as we know it, is going to go bye-bye. It's going to disappear. By the way, as a side note, this is why I believe we do not find America mentioned in Bible prophecy. America, as far as a society and function, economy, is still going to function. But America, as we know it, is silent in Bible prophecy. And I believe the reason why is because America, as we know it, is not going to be in existence anymore. We're going to be swallowed up in this new North American Union combined with these other countries. And that's why we don't hear about America. But you go back to that map, folks, take a look at that. Look at all those countries there. And you tell me, if Trump is not very quickly, immediately getting back in the office, not combining all these countries into one. Let's put it all together. Immediately, Trump was very verbose and saying statements like, hey, Canada needs to become the 51st state of the United States. Remember that? Watch this.
Look, what I'd like to see Canada become our 51st state. We give them protection, military protection. We don't need them to build our cars. I'd rather see Detroit or South Carolina or any one of our Tennessee, any one of our states build the cars. They could do it very easily. We don't need them for the cars. We don't need them for lumber. We don't need them for anything. We don't need them for energy. We have more energy than they do. We don't need them for energy. So I say, why are we doing this? Why are we willing to lose between $100 billion and $200 billion a year? We don't need them. As a state, it's different. As a state, it's much different. And there are no tariffs. So I'd love to see that, but some people say that would be a long shot. If people wanted to play the game right, it would be 100% certain that they'd become a state.
What's that? Did we already forget this statement, folks? Canada becoming or merging into the United States of America? And well, why would he do that? Well, let's go back to the map, folks. It tells you the whole thing. Canada is a part of the new North American Union, as well as the plan for the Technate of America. That's why, folks. Well, let's go down the line. Wait a second. Trump not only wanted to merge Canada into the United States, he also very quickly said, we better hurry up and get back Panama, of all places. Watch this.
To further enhance our national security, my administration will be reclaiming the Panama Canal, and we've already started doing it.
All righty, Panama. What's going on in Panama? Well, that's the importance of looking at the map. Again, the difference between the Club of Rome map and the Technate map is it goes a little further south. And as you notice, that further south includes what? Panama. It's right on the map. But that's not all. All of a sudden, Trump at the same time was saying, hey, you know what? He's hot to trot. We better hurry up and acquire Greenland, right? And that's in high gear. Watch this.
Now, the second lady will be joined by her husband, the vice president, of course, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, Energy Secretary Chris Wright, and Utah Senator Mike Lee. They'll be heading to the Butafik Space Base, the military's northernmost installation. They're expected to get a briefing on security issues and meet with service members. Here's President Trump talking about the importance of Greenland.
We need Greenland for national security and international security, so I think we'll go as far as we have to go. We need Greenland, and the world needs us to have Greenland, including Denmark. But if we don't have Greenland, we can't have great international security.
So, again, of all places, Greenland. Why is he so hot to Well, folks, again, go back to the map. That's also on not only the North American Union map from the Club of Rome, it's also on the Technate map. Right? If that's going to happen, then Greenland's got to come into play. But wait a second. Trump also said that he boldly renamed the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Remember that? Watch this.
America will reclaim its rightful place as the greatest, most powerful, most respected nation on earth, inspiring the awe and admiration of the entire world. A short time from now, we are going to be changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America.
Well, hey, this one's a victory, right? He renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Well, hold on. Not necessarily. Gulf of America. What America? America as we know it today, or the new Technate of America, or the North American Union? Which America are you talking about there? But wait a second. Man, this stuff is happening so fast, we just forget the news cycle, don't we? Is this have anything to do with why Trump invaded Venezuela? Remember that? Watch this, right? It's according to the map.
The breaking news this morning, President Trump says the U.S. carried out large-scale strikes on Venezuela overnight. He says its president, Nicolas Maduro, and his wife, Celia Flores, have been captured and flown out of the country. Attorney General Pam Bondi says both of them have been indicted and in a social media post says that they will, quote, soon face the full wrath of American justice.
We can't take a chance that somebody else takes over Venezuela that doesn't have the good of the Venezuelan people in mind. We've had decades of that. We're not going to let that happen. We're there now. And what people don't understand, but they understand as I say this, we're there now, but we're going to stay until such time as the proper transition can take place. So we're going to stay until such time as we're going to run it, essentially, until such time as a proper transition can take place.
Folks, have we already forgotten when that went down? I remember watching them going like, man, of all places, why in the world did you pick Venezuela, on top of everything else we already saw, to invade and take over? Well, again, sorry to sound like a broken record, it's the map, right? Apparently the spirit of Dora the Explorer is all over us. It's the map, it's the map, it's the map. Once you see the map, you can predict where they're going next, folks. In fact, speaking of next, they're already saying where they're going next. It rhymes with Cuba. Cuba is about to fall thanks to Trump. Watch this.
President Trump's executive order threatening tariffs on countries providing oil to Cuba is sending shockwaves.
The White House reportedly is evaluating a complete blockade of all oil deliveries to cripple communist Cuba. More reports indicate Cuba is on the brink of economic collapse.
So a total blockade of communist Cuba is taking place for the first time in decades. And while the country's oppressive regime has survived for years on outside lifelines like Venezuela and Iran, those nations are no longer around to keep propping up this island prison dictatorship. And with U.S. warships all over the Caribbean, experts say Cuba's days are numbered.
Wow. Well, again, you're like, man, Cuba, who would have thought they would ever be taken out. Well, folks, you're going like, well, why? Why so hot to trot for Cuba? Folks, it's on the map. As you can see there, the Caribbean, and that includes the nation of Cuba. They're next. Now, lest you doubt that they're going after Cuba, folks, they've already said on tape that they're next. Cuba is next after they finish up with Iran. Watch this.
And then he quickly turned to Cuba. He said, without being asked, Cuba is going to fall pretty soon, by the way. But Cuba is going to fall. They want to make a deal so badly. And I asked, how so? He said, they want to make a deal, so I'm going to put Marco over there, and we'll see how that works. But we're really focused on this one now, meaning Iran. We've got plenty of time on Cuba.
Straight from the horse's mouth. You finished up Iran. Cuba's going next. Why? Because it's on the map. But speaking of the map, wait a second. There's two other countries on there. Mexico. And next to Mexico is, next to Venezuela is Colombia. Is there any action being taken towards those guys? Watch this, folks.
Tonight, with America's largest aircraft carrier now in the Caribbean, and after another deadly U.S. strike against an alleged drug boat, President Trump signaling he's willing to expand his war on drug cartels into Mexico.
Would I launch strikes in Mexico to stop drugs? It's okay with me. Whatever we have to do to stop drugs, we know their address, we know their front door, we know everything about every one of them.
And Colombia, too, where over 90% of cocaine smuggled into the U.S. is produced.
Yeah, folks, come on. I hope I don't have to convince you on this, but you got to be kidding me. The final two countries left on the TechNate map, the new North American Union from the technocracy movement, is now the next two on the list. And you're going like, well, why? Because it's all on the map. Every single one of those countries mentioned on the TechNate map, every single one of them is in play right now to become under the control of America, creating a new North American Union. The only difference from the Club of Rome, Ten Horn Kingdom map, number one, North American Union, is it goes a little further south and pulls in the Caribbean. That's it. But at the end of the day, what's going to happen? America, as we know it, is going to be swallowed up. You can call it the Monroe Doctrine. You can call it American expansionism, all you want. But America, as we know it, folks, is going bye-bye. And that's what the Bible says is going to happen over and over again. And then you go like, well, wait a second. Maybe that's also why Trump put into play, for the first time in American history, a universal ID called Real ID. Watch this.
May 7th is the start of America's new ID program, and the White House wants to make sure that you're ready. The program is when federal officials will start looking for either a small star or a small flag on your driver's license or ID card to make sure that it is compliant with the new rules that enable information sharing between the states and the feds. The biggest difference for Americans will come at airports.
That information, and it'll just allow people to get an ID that they should be on our planes. They should be people that are United States residencies.
Trump's team is now pushing Real ID because, you know, nothing says freedom like biometric checkpoints and a federally controlled surveillance database, conveniently rebranded as airport security. But Real ID isn't new. It was cooked up back in 2005, right after 9/11. It was sold to the public as a security measure. Went right alongside the Patriot Act. Isn't that crazy? Larry Ellison, CEO of Oracle, mentioned an idea about a national digital ID around the exact same time. So whose plan is this really? The real global agenda is being implemented across every nation, without question, without debate. Take this headline from Wired, published in December 2024. The paper passport is dying. They admit openly that smartphones and facial recognition are replacing traditional documents, creating a new kind of digital travel credential. And even though it raises major privacy concerns, they're still moving forward. Everywhere, countries around the world are acting in unison as if they're all working together on some kind of script here.
Folks, this is already into play. Without the Real ID, they're slowly but surely bringing in the clamps, and they're making right now they're penalizing you, but eventually it's going to lead to what they said. You're not going to be able to travel. And you think about it, this is revolutionary in a negative sense. For the first time in American histories, to use the phrase, we're basically in an electronic way having to be stopped wherever we go with basically show me your papers. This is what's going on. I've been tracking this, folks, ever since Bush Jr., and he's the one that started this, the Real ID. And this was the excuse to put this national ID system in place after 9/11 and the terrorism thing and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's been rebuked, it's been stopped, it's been stalemated for all these years. Every administration keeps trying to do it. Nobody has been able to pull it off. And then all of a sudden Trump gets in and whammo, it's in play. That's not by chance. We now have a national ID in America, and it ain't going to stop there. It's going to be combined into the new North American Union. Now, if that wasn't enough smoking gun proof that we've already seen every single nation that's on the TechNate map to create a new North American Union, one of the 10 of the 10 Horn Kingdoms, isn't enough proof, and now we have a national ID, a universal ID system for Americans, first time in American history. Let me give you some more smoking proof gun that this is Trump really working off the TechNate map. This is Joshua Haldeman. He was one of the big leaders involved in the technocracy movement that produced that map. And the idea that the high-tech guys, technology moguls, technology geniuses, the scientists are going to rule the planet, and they're going to provide utopias for us with their technology. But this is one of the big guys, and as you can see here in this photo, not only technocracy in the background, but what's also in the background? The TechNate map, the new North America. And if you see there on the right there, with it says there, have you investigated technocracy's design for a, and it's a new America. Now, here's my point. That's one of the big leaders. His name is Joshua Haldeman. He was originally from Canada, but he packed up his family and he moved to South Africa eventually. In 1971, he and his wife gave birth to a daughter, and they named her May. May gives birth to her first son, or gives birth to a son, and she just happened to name him Elon. I'm not making this up, folks. Do the math yourself. Do the research. Elon Musk, technology guy, technology guru, he is the grandson of Joshua Haldeman, one of the big leaders of the technocracy movement, who is best buddies with Trump, who's in his ear all the time. And people are saying that is a smoking gun, that Trump is really pushing the technocracy movement, including the map. Every single country on that map is in play right now. So again, I don't think that's by chance, folks. I think it's all part of what they said was coming one day. Again, as you heard earlier in the study, they used the word new order, the new order. It's also known as the New World Order. When they say New World Order, it's not just a one world government. It's everything we're talking about. It's the Tin Horn Kingdom. It's the universal ID. It's the cashless society. And this New World Order that God alone calls the Antichrist Kingdom, okay, in the 7-year tribulation, has been well under play for a long time. In fact, let me show you how long these guys have been traitors in our own country moving towards this satanic agenda. Watch this.
And the hope that each of us has to build a new world order in which nations and peoples with different systems and different values can live together in peace.
Why the world has changed so much and why the world has turned so much toward a new world order and a new kind of civilization.
Until now, the world we've known has been a world divided, a world of barbed wire and concrete block, conflict, Cold War. Now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
The kaleidoscope has been shaken. The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
Jim, I think we are living through one of these historic defining times. I think we are seeing a new world order.
His task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created.
So I think you need a new world order, that China has to be part of the process of creating it.
We meet here at a moment of testing for Europe and the United States, and for the international order that we have worked for generations to build.
All nations must come together to build a stronger global regime.
I believe we, and particularly you, your class, has an incredible window of opportunity to lead in shaping a new world order for the 21st century.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Are we at the beginning of a new world order?
Yeah.
And there's a real question about whether there's a massive shift happening now in terms of world alliances long term.
Well, it's definitely, I think, a new world order. I think the president has sought to it. There's a new world order in trade. There's a new world order in globalization and the way that we invest in our economy versus, you know, foreign supply chains. There's a new world order, and that the president is willing to shake up some old alliance structures. I mean, NATO, I think, is much different because of the president's leadership than it was 10 years ago. It was sort of coasting. It was effectively a protectorate of the United States of America. Obviously, you saw what happened in Venezuela. So, yeah, the president is putting a stamp on world history.
Wow. How many times in 60 seconds can you say new world order? Folks, we just got to deal with this. Whatever the plan is implemented, the Club of Rome map, the TechNate map, what's going to happen? America, the unthinkable is going to happen. We're going to be swallowed up into one of the 10 of the 10 Horn Kingdom unions. It's going to happen. Again, it could be the Club of Rome map, but it sure looks like the TechNate map is what's in play and is going to get the job done. Also known as the Great Reset, also known as the Fourth Industrial Revolution, also known as Agenda 2030, and as you saw for many years, it's also known as the New World Order. Again, God alone calls it for what it is. It's the Antichrist kingdom being formed for our very eyes just in time for the seven-year tribulation, okay? But this is why Jesus said what? Freak out and run to the hills? Absolutely not. He said, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. As Christians, how we translate all this is, hey, God doesn't tell us exactly when the rapture happens because he knows us. We goof off to the very end, wouldn't we, right? But he loves us as his bride, so he gives us signs that it's getting close. How? Well, he tells us and shows us events in the seven-year tribulation that we're not going to be a part of, but we've seen those events are starting to be put into play now, and so it sends to us the logical conclusion. Wait a second. If that's going to happen in the seven-year tribulation and I leave prior to the rapture, and that's already happening right now, then my departure's got to be near. Exactly. That's the point. And so we need to get out there and finish strong, right? Again, I encourage you, get our documentary, scan that code. We don't copyright our media. Every single one of them has an opportunity for people to pray and receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's what we want to find the Lord doing when he comes and get us. Because when the rapture happens, you're going to be doing something. Hopefully, it's out there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you're watching this and you're not saved, what in the world are you waiting for? You need to get saved now, right? You do not want to be here. As Jesus said, the seven-year tribulation is the worst time in the history of mankind. So horrible that if God didn't shorten that time frame, i.e. keep it to 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. Please get saved now. Call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you and forgive you of your sins. Entrust that it was his death on the cross and that alone to get you to heaven. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Do that now. But let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you so much for our services today. We thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us a heads up of not just what's going to happen in the future, but it sends the message to we, your church, that, hey, wait a second, the rapture has got to be getting close. So help us, God, as your people, to just get excited about that, because last time I checked, being with you, which happens at the rapture, is best case scenario. And that we would finish our time here, not goofing off, not getting lazy, not being full of procrastination, but taking advantage of every opportunity wherever you've got a station around the world, and we would share your good news with as many as we can. That's why we're still here. You're not willing that any should perish. But again, God, if there's anybody tuning in today that's not truly born again, please save them even now. But thank you for your study. Please bless it to these lives that belong to you. And we ask and pray all this in your wonderful name, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Well, hey, just again, want to remind you guys, Lord willing, tune in next week. It's going to be Communion Sunday, so don't forget to get your elements ready. We'll be partaking in communion together. Also, just wanted to encourage you that, hey, guess what? You're the remnant. You're just like me. You're just in a different part of the world or around the United States, but we're all in this together. So what do? We just got encouraged in God's word. The equipping of the saints just took place. So now it's up to us during the week to get out there and share the good news of the gospel. Do that this week, wherever God has you as the remnant. Share the gospel with as many people as you can. Hey, guess what? You could lead somebody to Christ. And guess what? Next week, Lord willing, next Sunday, bring them with you. Now you got a place for them to be a disciple. Or as you're out there in your sphere of influence, wherever you're at in the world, you're out there, you might run into another remnant Christian who's also in the same predicament you're in. I can't find a healthy church. There's nothing out there. Well, now you got a place for them to go. Come together, start a home church. If the church in your area won't do it, you be the church. I'll be your shepherd, and we'll work together nationally, internationally, and we'll get God's word out one way or another. But I encourage you to do that, and join us again, Lord willing, next week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace. God bless. See you next week. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. And for being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth He is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.